So now we're going to hear from somebody who really has to make this work in practice, Rick Antle.
Well, welcome, and thank you for having me here, Dr. Cho, and thank all of you for being here and to learn a little bit about the agriculture and what role it plays here in our local community. We're looking at some interesting things as we move forward, and that's not a mistake here, guys. We employ women and men doing the same job, and it's a little bit different than what it used to be with it was all male braceros in the 1960s, but the world has changed. And right here in Monterey County, this is the economics of our county. Agriculture obviously is the big driver, tourism, hospitality, higher ed and research. We've got the DLI, we've got CSUMB, we've got the Naval Postgraduate School, and then at the bottom our military and government. So clearly agriculture is the driver in our community here. But what do we have here? We have a workforce that's skilled in trades, okay? There's just not a lot of jobs, really, when you look at the big mass, that really requires this college degree. So what are we really looking for in a workforce? How are we attracting it? That's the part that I want to hopefully share with you guys. Headline of February 5th, Los Angeles Times. There was an article relative to turning farm workers' children into computer scientists. It was an expose on some of the work being done over in Salinas. It discussed Hartnell's College that's in conjunction with CSUMB here. We're 2 years at Hartnell on a track to go into the computer science program here. 84% of the students coming out of that are actually being accepted and are coming on into CSUMB, which is absolutely fabulous. The dilemma is only 2% of the Salinas workforce is engaged in the computer science industry, okay? I mean, Silicon Valley is close. A lot of jobs up there, hopefully, for them. But really, right down here, there's not a lot of it. So really, what is the opportunity? You know, how can we educate and move us forward? People talk a lot about ag technology, but what's really happening in it? The reality is our labor pool is shrinking. You know, you guys have heard Donald Trump stand up, talk about what he wants to do, and I'm here to tell you there is a fence. It's already built. If he would come out and visit us in Arizona, and he can actually see it. There's a large fence. But in 1970, the biggest concern about was automation displacing the workforce. Okay, the University of California developed the tomato picker. Cesar Chavez and the UFW said, wait a minute, this is going to eliminate our jobs. The mandate from the governor was there'll be no more research into automation on the farm. And that's the last time the University of California did any work on that. Today's concern for us is how fast can we automate? We just don't have a labor force. But the opportunity, again, that's going to be is what education must help close this gap between what production is and innovation. Now, I was walking through the parking lot or driving down, I saw a plant pathology lab. But how many labs here at this university actually go out in the field, take field trips? We've got a wonderful, wonderful valley here, very close. You can come over and look. Because the irony of the whole thing is, a lot of think tanks want to come down. I get a call every day. Rick, we want to come down and learn about your business. Or Rick, we've got a great idea for you. But the fact is, they don't know anything about our business. And so in order to innovate, you have to know what the business is. You got to know what a head of lettuce is from a cabbage. And that's the big dislink. Okay, I'll tell you a quick story. You know, food safety is a big thing now. And we had a recall, potential recall. Got a call that they were on their way down to investigate it. And the first thing, the lady came in and said, where's the cilantro trees that I need to look at? So Gourmail, our food scientist, was very patient. He was a professor at one point. He took her and he says, before we look for the cilantro trees, let me take you for a drive on the farm. And I want to show you the work and the things. And 4 hours later, she was convinced that the cilantro doesn't go on a tree. And she was more convinced that cilantro wasn't the real problem. So it was just that type of outreach that's lacking, okay? Who are we? Tanimer and Antle. We were formed in 1982. It's two families. It's the Tanimers and the Antles. We farm about 40,000 acres. We grow premium produce, primarily leafy lettuces, everything that's in a salad, celery, broccoli, cauliflower. And it's all built around our distribution, because what we have is products that grow in the fields, but most importantly, they all go in your refrigerator. So it's 32 degree products. A salad obviously includes a tomato, but tomatoes don't ship at 32 degrees. If tomatoes did, we'd be also growing tomatoes. 2,400 employees at any one time, but it takes 7,000 employees during the year to have 2,400 at any given time. Now, in 1982, that number would have probably been 2,400 and 3,000, because about 80% of the workforce used to travel back and forth. They were migratory. Today, they've set the roots down. They're part of the communities. You know, these people are earning enough money that they can come in. Have the American dream. The children go to school. The children go to college. The children become a working part of the community. And our payroll is not small. It's $2 million a week. It's a major factor what we're able to invest into the community is through our workforce. This is a great picture here. Sam in the center was one of their original foremen. He's now since retired. Very inspirational individual. And this reflects the Sam Career Award winners. And as you can see, it's kind of a diverse group. We've got Maria and Raul. Colin over there on the end, he's also Santa Claus. He also is Jewish, so. So how are we going to meet our future labor needs? One of the ways that we're going to look at this is through our H2A workforce. Another one is our educational partnerships, automate and innovate, and of course it's attract, retain, and motivate. So the first is a Department of Labor program. You may hear it, heard of it. It's the H-2A program. What this allows is a foreign national to come work legally in the United States with documentation. They go through a long background. We have to provide housing. We have to provide their transportation. And one of the issues that people really don't realize is I can't use that unless every single domestic worker that applies for me has been given an opportunity. So we don't use that here in Salinas, and I'll explain a little more in the future about that, the program we worked on. But in Arizona, that today is about 800 of our workers, about one-third of our labor force. And then 8 years ago, it was zero. And what happened 8 years ago? We had the heightened enforcement on the borders of the Border Patrol. And literally, they came, and if you had an undocumented worker, what did you do? Some went back to Mexico. Some of them got farther away from the border. So there, you know, the issue is very dynamic. Immigration reform is something that doesn't want to be dealt with. A lot of people think that this is the answer. I can tell you it's not the answer. We would really rather not do this. There's a lot of regulatory, there's a lot of strings attached to it, and we'd much rather have a domestic labor force that'll reinvest their dollars in the community versus taking their money at the end of the year and going back to their village in Mexico. Picture of some of the guys that actually there are actually H2 workers. Our educational partnerships, a lot of scholarships. We do these. We do them through the company, through the Tana Mura Foundation, through my mom and my father's foundation scholarships. We believe that if there's a student that's got a will and a way, and they can see and be a benefit to the America, we're going to try to help them get a chance. A lot of internships. We typically target junior and senior level. We've given them the real world experience, but I'll be real honest with you, they are providing a service to us, but they're also being interviewed while they're doing it. And today, a little over 30% of all of our interns have gone on to management careers at TNA, and many, many, many more have gone on to management roles in the ag industry. If anybody's here is interested in internships, we actually have a website. You can go on that. You can also go on our website and see some of the job offerings that we have. And then we look at collaborations with CSUMB, Hartnell College, Cal Poly, some of the other feeder schools. Automation is a key part of what we're going to do. We're trying to automate anything we can as quickly as we can. I'll make no bones about it. And one of those innovations that we have is the plant tape system. We're in the final phases of the development program of this. It was a machine that allows us to grow the baby plants in a greenhouse in a very nurturing environment, very minimal amount of water, minimal amount of space required for this. And it allows us to have higher productivity on the farm. So hopefully we'll have higher yields, which means we get more produce for less water, means we get more produce for less inputs. But it also, it's totally automated. That machine will do the work of about 50 workers. We call it 17 to 1, but it's really higher than that because the machine works the equivalent of three. So that machine with one driver and two technicians on the back literally can plant about 40 acres a day. So when you see it go through the field, a normal machine will run maybe at 2 miles an hour. This runs at about 6 miles an hour. So it spends more time turning around at the end of the row than it does actually running. And we're working on that. Attract and retain and motivate is obviously the most important thing that you can do as an employer. And what we find is most of our management, middle managers especially, have been just people that came up out through the fields. And this is your typical career path and the earnings that they would make. A harvester makes our base salaries $12.50, but we've got incentives for them that get them up to the $16 to $18 an hour earnings. Then they go into a secondary, maybe an assistant to the foreperson. See the foreperson there at the 55s, supervisor, manager, director, et cetera. And there's this like path for the farm labor. You'll see a little disparity in the pay there because those people don't travel. Okay, they're able to set themselves down. The top group, they actually move with us. If you're management with us, you're actually living in the remote locations for half the year. But that's not all, you know, it's nice to have be in the weather all the time. But there are some other benefits. This is Doris. Doris is one of our four persons. And she started with us 16 years ago as a lettuce cutter. And over her career, she cut lettuce. Then she became a bus driver who got extra pay for, you know, working during the day. And then they drove the buses. And now she's making her 55. But then that's her base salary. Excuse me. She has another opportunity to make another $10,000 based on her own personal performance. Last year, she made another $10,000 because of the company's performance. And then she gets paid about another $10,000 tax-free to offset her living expenses while she's living in Arizona or the outlying remote locations. So, good year last year. Doris made $75,000 plus another $10,000 more or less for living expenses for the time she's away from home. The reality for us really hit home last year when we came back to Salinas. This is the first time since 1982 we were not able to fill all of our labor needs. We'd taken labor for granted. We were more used to turning people away than we were going out and recruiting. We calculated that we, at the end of the season, we still had 284 harvest positions unfilled. We lost crops, and it was clearly that labor demand exceeded our supply. And as we dove into this, we realized the big thing here was our lack of affordable housing and what it does to the labor supply. So when we, last year, mid-April, we said we're going to have to do something. And it really looked for us that we were going to have to bring an H-2A program here. Not something we wanted to do, but we were facing no alternatives. Didn't see any immigration reform coming down the path. And so we went forward with the county and identified a piece of property that we have on our ranch. Now, some of the statistics here is in 2014, only 26% could afford to buy a house, down from 35%. 17% of our citizens here in Monterey County live below the poverty level. Salinas specifically, the fourth fastest growing rental prices in California. Half of the renters pay 35% of their earnings to rent. In 2012, it was estimated that we lacked at least 2,000 rental units. And last year alone, rent went up 12.4%. Now, the people that are renting are not the high-income people, are they? Okay? So what did we do? We saw the need. We're, you know, we look like we're going to have to do the H2. So we designed and built the buildings. There's 100 two-bedroom, two-bath. Each of them has a capacity to hold 8 employees. They all have kitchens, living areas. We have an on-store site and some other amenities for them. It's only for adults because it's just not a, it's for our workforce, okay? And, you know, it's just not a right place to be trying to raise a family with in the environment. And we absolutely believe that all of our employees are entitled to a safe community with affordable housing, something we don't have in Salinas. You know, we've got a lot of housing. Somebody will ask, you know, where were all these people living before? There was that many, you know, piled on top of each other in houses. You know, there's stories of 20 people in a house commuting 100 miles to go to work every day. So what are our expectations? We announced that we were going to build our housing, and we started hearing that we had workers that were interested, people that were living in the San Joaquin Valley, some of them down in Ventura. And we did some polling, and we found that it was very likely that we weren't going to have to use the H2 program, that we would be able to take people that are otherwise unemployed, be able to house them, provide them a work opportunity, and to meet our needs. So it's a win-win situation for us. Now, if that changes, we've designed it and built it to the H2 standard, but we'd much rather employ domestic labor. You're going to hear about this. There's already a couple proposals that have gone on and done in the Southern Salinas Valley. And the biggest expectation we have is to continue to cultivate, you know, future generations and give them the opportunity to come here. Because frankly, an employee thrives, the family thrives, the family thrives, the community thrives. So I'll thank you, and Dr. Choa, I think you're next.